This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, May 29th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums. The 2012 KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival continues with the Italian Serenade for String Quartet, Night Piece for Flute and Strings by the American composer Arthur Foote, and Brahms Clarinet Quintet, performed by the University of Arkansas Music Department faculty and guest artists Thursday night at 7:30 at St. Paul's Episcopal Church Parish Hall in Fayetteville. Admission is free. Information available at fulbrightsummermusic.uark.edu. The 62nd Annual Opera in the Ozarks is June 22nd to July 20th at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. This season's productions include La Boheme, A Little Night Music, and The Magic Flute. Sunday performances will be held at the Arendt Arts Center in Bentonville on July 1st, 8th, and 15th at 4 p.m. Tickets and more information available at opera.org. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, two of the state's most read political bloggers sit down with Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net to discuss last week's primary election in Arkansas and the general election in the fall, and how yarn, social awareness, and public displays of art can come together. Meredith Martin-Motes reports on just what a yarn bomb is. First, the National Weather Service says there is a chance for more rain in the next few days, possibly some severe weather that may move into the region between tonight and Thursday. The latest weather outlook suggests strong thunderstorms with large hail and damaging winds could move into eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas by early tonight. The National Weather Service office in Tulsa says a March 19th storm that hit Fayetteville was a tornado. The service says an EF0 tornado, that is a twister with wind speeds up to 85 miles per hour, hit near the intersection of Old Wire and East Mission Boulevard on that date. Brad McGavick, a meteorologist with the Tulsa office, says the official designation came after on-site investigations of storm damage.
Folks from our office, folks from the Weather Service, will go out and look at the damage if they can. Next chance is they'll start gathering all the data that's associated with that day. So that may be public reports, that may be media reports that have respond or relate to this particular storm or event, includes radar data. We'll go back and look at all that. That's all archived, and we'll go back and look for that, and we'll try to piece together exactly what happened.
The official declaration that the storm was a tornado can put to rest a local legend that no tornado has ever hit the city, folklore that's been inspired by Fayetteville's hilly geography.
You know, we hear a lot of that on different towns and different locations. We'll hear people that relate, you know, the weather phenomena or lack thereof to certain geographical features or, you know, things like that. And really there's no scientific background for any of that that I know of.
The March 19th storm is blamed for damaged trees and some minor residential and business damage. Arkansas's home sales fell 10% last month, though the most recent reports indicate the average price of a home sale increased by 8%. Amy Glover-Bryan with the Arkansas Realtors Association says the cause of the shift is unknown.
That's the magic question. You know, we can speculate that it could be that the inventory, we're going through inventory. It could be, as I've heard from a number of realtors, that they are getting multiple offers on homes. And so the housing, you know, people are getting good value out of their house.
She says sales for the entire year are up slightly, about 2%, when compared to the same time last year. Visitors to downtown Fort Smith will have a dozen new opportunities to learn about the city's history. 12 plaques describing historical connections to the city were formally dedicated this morning in Fort Smith. Each of the plaques has a QR code attached that will allow visitors to learn more about each historic site by using a smartphone or other mobile device. The plaques were donated to the city. The American Bar Association is placing Arkansas at the very bottom of a list of states ranked by access to legal services for those who can't afford them. The Arkansas Access to Justice Commission is holding a conference this week to address the issue. Nathan Vandiver has this report from Little Rock.
In criminal matters, the U.S. Constitution gives those charged with a crime the right to have a lawyer represent them in court, whether they can pay or not. But if someone has an issue in civil court, like a divorce or a foreclosure, there's no guarantee of legal help. The Arkansas Access to Justice Commission is a group created by the Arkansas Supreme Court and given the task of providing all Arkansans equal access to legal help in civil court.
There's a substantial number of Arkansans who don't have access to legal help for legal matters because they don't make enough money to afford an attorney.
Amy Johnson is the executive director of the Arkansas Access to Justice Commission. She says civil legal issues affect many aspects of people's lives.
For example, you know, with the medical legal partnership that we have with Children's Hospital, you'll have a situation where a child has asthma, and you also find out that the family is living in terrible conditions. They're leasing an apartment, and the landlord won't fix the mold. And by addressing the legal issue, you can also take care of the underlying problem that's contributing to the poor health of the child.
In addition, Johnson says education and legal partnerships and discussions on how to help people who have to represent themselves in court are on the list of topics. Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens will be the closing guest speaker at the State House Convention Center Wednesday night. Johnson says 500,000 Arkansans make incomes that would qualify them for civil legal assistance should they ever need it. While the number who need legal assistance is fewer, there is still not adequate funding to help those people. Cecile Dewan is a consumer protection attorney for the Center for Arkansas Legal Services, a group that provides civil legal assistance to those who can't afford it. She says educating Arkansans about their rights and the resources they can access is a big issue, too.
A lot of people don't understand what their rights are. A lot of people don't know, you know, what obligations they have, what responsibilities they have, what they should expect from other people or other businesses or from any transaction, and they don't know. Without knowing that, they're going to do things that are, you know, I guess legally they're going to sign away their rights, and you know, it'd be a disadvantage. So I think that's the biggest thing is education.
I'm Nathan Vandiver reporting in Little Rock.
The Arkansas baseball team has been selected as the number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament Houston Regional. Arkansas will face number 3 seed Sam Houston State Friday afternoon in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Arkansas enters the tournament with a 39-19 overall record. The Razorbacks are appearing in the NCAA tournament for the 11th consecutive year and the 25th time in program history. First pitch between the Razorbacks and Sam Houston is set for 1 o'clock Friday afternoon. The other first-round matchup features the host school and top seed in the regional Rice and number 4 seed Prairie View A&M. The regional will continue through Sunday. On the final day of competition at the 2012 NCAA West Preliminary, the number 13 University of Arkansas women's track and field team added 6 national qualifiers. Combined with other efforts during the weekend, the Razorbacks will have 10 entries, 8 individual and 2 relay at the NCAA championships in Des Moines, Iowa. And the 8th-ranked University of Arkansas men's track and field team added 4 national qualifiers Saturday. They'll have a total of 11 entries at the NCAA championships that will be held June 6th through the 9th. And the Frisco Rough Riders used a 4-run first inning to defeat the Northwest Arkansas Naturals 9-6 yesterday in Springdale. The Nats have the day off today, then we'll head to Midland, Texas tomorrow to take on the Rockhounds.